Being a conservative student on a college campus is certainly an interesting experience, and it often feels like you have to walk around on eggshells near all your professors, your classmates, whoever you come across, not to mention how bad things got with COVID requirements and mandates. So today we're going to talk about our experiences in higher education on this special Blue-Haired Conservatives episode of Subtle Rampage Podcast. Let's get into it.
Warning, the following program contains critical thinking, honest opinions, viewpoints on culture that may seem conservative, and a positive view on absolute detestable things such as marriage and children. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome or welcome back to Subtle Rampage Podcast, where I discuss the things that I feel like discussing. Now, in the studio with me today, I have my best friend and fellow blue-haired conservative, Shauna Husky. Say hi!
Hi.
Yay. Everybody cheer us on. It's so great to have somebody else to talk to on these things. Okay, so today our whole episode is about higher education, the college experience, what it was like for us as conservatives and former homeschoolers, all of that fun stuff. Yeah. Now, both of us kind of got an early start on the whole college experience thing. We both started doing dual enrollment courses in person at age 16.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah. So, there is that. Shauna actually recently graduated from her university with a BA in graphic design and minors in marketing and fine arts.
Yes, yes.
So she's all edumacated, guys.
I like to think so, at least.
Yes. And I promise, despite the flaws in the education system, she does know what she's doing.
Yes, I do my research.
Yes. So there is that. My education experience when it comes to college was a bit more turbulent. And, you know, we both had to deal with COVID stuff. We just dealt with it in different ways because of, you know, life
experiences, lifestyles.
Yeah, just like the ability to make certain decisions is, you know, a factor. So yeah. Just who and who cannot do certain things is a factor. But yeah, so I did not finish college. I had like a year and a half left of my bachelor's degree. But it was insanely turbulent trying to be in school with all the COVID mandates and the requirements and everything. The first university that I initially went to after after high school pretty much told me that I could comply or transfer.
Yeah. Which they wouldn't say in writing.
No. I asked if they would put it in writing and they said no. So we all know why. We all know that, that's for legal reasons, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, you know, and then I tried to transfer and, you know, things are just, we're just not working out.
Yeah.
In my conservative favor. Okay. So.
It was a whole struggle bus.
It was a whole struggle bus. And in the end, I just decided to drop out. So, and now I've got a few things going for me, man. I'm doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it is possible to live life without a college education. It's just depending on the career you want, you might want to get a college education, i.e. medical, i.e. If you're looking for a job, okay, and you don't want to be completely self-reliant, you know, you're going to have to, you know, get something because people want that degree. That's why I didn't hire Shauna as my graphic designer for Subtle Rampage until she had that four-year degree.
Yes. This is true.
We joke, but...
Right.
It's not like she was super busy with school and being a student or anything.
Actually, I had so much free time.
During your senior year?
Yeah.
She shook her head no, for those of you on audio. But, yeah. So I guess I kind of wanted to start off this episode by talking a little bit about just college. Like, do you need college? Just the whole idea of, like, having to go to college after high school. Now I feel like in the last few years, especially in the homeschool community, I've noticed it a lot. Just a little bit more of an open approach to kids not going to college and instead going to technical schools, trade mm-hmm. schools, getting certifications elsewhere, and just finding other avenues to get to where they want to be career-wise or yeah. lifestyle-wise. So one of the questions I wanted to ask you was, what was the feeling like growing up concerning all of that? Like, mm-hmm. what was it expected of you that you went to college?
Yes.
Yes.
It was very hard, yes. And, like, understandably, because that's the kind of, like, influence my parents also grew up around. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, go to school, get your degree, you know, get a job, have a family, like, still type of values. And so, like, that was also, like, instilled in me as a young age.
Yeah.
I can talk.
Shh. Not really. It's fine. I was completely illiterate the other day, so, you know, it'd be like that.
It'd be like that. But yeah, I remember finishing my AA, which was in 2020, half a bachelor's degree. I was done. I personally was checked out. I'm good on school. Like, I'm a person that likes academics. I enjoy school, but at this point I was just beyond done. And my mother continued to push me, and she's like, no, you're getting your BA. And this is the one and only time I will say thank you, Mom. just kidding, I love you. But she pushed me to get my BA, and now I have it. And honestly, I am glad I have it now. I feel mm-hmm. like I have more skills than I did at community college.
Fair.
Not saying you can't do anything with an AA. You definitely can. It just depends on the person.
And it's really kind of pointless to get an AA.
Unless you're transferring. To counter
that. Yeah, unless you're transferring, it's really pointless to get an AA at this point. Like, it used to mean something to employers. Like, my mom got an AA when she did that. It meant something to employers. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't mean crap.
Yeah.
They want you to have a 4-year degree. Like,
yeah, like, community colleges now have programs set up for you to specifically transfer to the nearby 4-year degree.
Yeah, because it's expected that you don't stop at the mm-hmm. associate's degree. Honestly, a lot of employers view associate's degrees as, like, on the same level as, like, a GED. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's really ridiculous, honestly, but
like an unfinished degree.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's really sad.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it was expected of you that you go to college. What was your experience with, like, other people that you knew, public schooled, homeschooled, whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, did you see other people's parents, like, kind of offering, like, trade school as an option, offering up, like, mm-hmm. no, you don't have to go to college, just depends on what you want, like...
In the beginning, no. It was very much college or go into a blue collar job. Like mm-hmm. you got to pick one, and most of the push was for college.
Yeah.
But as I've watched my sisters grow up and other homeschool families and non-homeschool families around me looking for other resources outside of college, you know, trade school has been more positively, you know, spoken about, and other avenues of learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's for me, it's just interesting in the perspective of, like, homeschooling, you're molding the education around your child, and now in this transition, you're teaching your child how to find the right education for them and the career they want to pursue.
Yeah, and that there's, like, so many different avenues to mm-hmm. get to the same place in most things.
In most cases.
Like, you know, obviously if you want to be a doctor, there's only so many ways you
That's
can do that.
That's a bit different.
but, you know, yeah, just, like, that is pretty much the gist. Like, there, like, if, you know, if you're catering an education towards a child, it only makes sense to try to continue to cater that towards mm-hmm. them as they're heading into adulthood. Teach them how to figure out how to do things the way that they want to do things. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was, I think it was just expected of me that I would go to college just because I always wanted to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I had wanted something different, my parents would have been, like, the type to be like, okay, well, how is that going to work? But just because, like, from, like, middle school onward, like, I was very dead set on the fact that I was going to college. That was just always what me and my parents expected me to do. And as far as, like, other people's parents, it was the same. It was mm-hmm. like, you're either going straight into, like, a job.
Yeah.
That you're gonna pretty much be working for a long time, or you're gonna go to college. And I think that that was a major push for a long time, many years, several generations, that was the push.
Yes.
But the thing is, like, at some point, that stopped being, like, the results stopped coming out well for that. You kind of see how, you know, like we were talking about, the associate's degree lost its value. The bachelor's loses its value.
It's starting
a little
to
bit.
Lose its value.
Yeah, like certain things start to lose their value in just the general cultural sphere of things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and people who get a BA are not, you know, there's so many people with that, and it's like a lower level expectation for so many jobs now that it's like, you're not getting the best of the best jobs if you go get a 4-year degree. It's just the reality. So it's kind of one of those things where I think in recent years, people have kind of started to see that, that that there's a lot of failure in that system now. And so they are trying to be more open to technical schools and trade schools and other ways to get to a career that you want, just because college is so expensive and there's a lot of people who don't do well in that environment anyway and don't even need it to get where they want to be. I do want to put in there, though, that part of the push towards trade schools and vocational schools, I can tell you right now, part of it is because they need more people in those industries, because they pushed for the academic part of things for so long that they were lacking people in those industries. So now states are putting like initiatives into place.
It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So now states are putting initiatives into place for trade schools, and a lot of states have set up relationships between trade schools and the state, or trade schools and businesses, to where as soon as people finish these trade school programs, they immediately have job offers, because they need people in those industries. So that's part of why people are starting to be more open to it. It's because it is being pushed on us more. So just a little tidbit for you to keep in mind. It's not that we're just evolving as human beings. It's that it's a bigger narrative that's getting pushed on us.
There's usually a bigger narrative to everything.
Yeah.
Whether you recognize it or not.
Definitely. So do you have to go to college? The answer is no. We all know this. You should all know this. but next thing, I think one misconception that a lot of non-homeschoolers seem to have, that homeschoolers, like, don't understand, is, like, they have this idea that homeschoolers will have a really difficult time adjusting to college life.
Yeah, the people think that a lot, and, like, based off stereotypes, I see why.
I guess I see why, but, like, again, the stereotypes, just, it's not it.
No.
It's really not.
It's like, don't generalize people.
Yes. I've met a very, very small percentage of weird homeschoolers.
Same here.
I've probably met more weird public schoolers.
I can attest to that as well.
Yeah. So just for the record. But yeah, so people have this misconception of like, it's going to be so horribly difficult and, you know, just a huge adjustment.
Don't be able to transition to like a normal life.
Yeah, it's honestly just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But we both did dual enrollment. Like I said, we started at 16, so obviously we got part of the college experience a little bit sooner than some people. And like, and the reason I say that is because like it's not like we were doing these dual enrollment courses in our high school or online. Yeah. We did a lot of in person on campus college
almost
courses.
All in person.
Yeah, but community college is still way different than 4-year universities.
It is very different.
Yes. So, and I'm going to focus a lot on Shauna for this episode, guys, because I can talk about myself whenever I want, but I only have Shauna for a brief period of time, at least in person. Do you think going from homeschool to higher education was difficult, or do you think it was easy, or do you think it was like, eh? Or like,
I think in the beginning, as a 16-year-old, I put a lot of pressure on it because of all the negative stereotypes I faced growing up, labeling me dumb because I was taught by my mom. You know, when going into it, I had the mindset of like, I want to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I am smart, I can do this, and I feel like I've proved that at this point. But
yeah,
that was the mindset I had going into it, and that put a lot of stress on that put a lot of stress on me just from me.
Yeah.
And so I think it was a little scary to me, like, in the first few, like, weeks.
Yeah.
But I, fortunately, my first teachers, they were very kind to me. So it felt, like, very smooth sailing, honestly. Like, I don't have many complaints of transition.
Yeah. Plus, as we've discussed before, if if you haven't gone back and watched our first couple Blue Conservatives podcasts, you should go back and watch those. But as we've discussed before, a lot of professors love to hear that you're homeschooled.
Mm-hmm. They are very thrilled.
Yeah.
Like literally jumping for joy.
Yeah, smile ear to ear. Like a lot. Mm-hmm. There's some that could give a crap, but a lot of them that I've experienced have been like just super happy that you're homeschooled. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
But yeah. So was there anything that you felt like more prepared for dealing with because of your homeschool experience? Or because of the things that homeschooling instilled in you? Like, do you feel like you were more prepared because maybe homeschooling made you more independent? Or
that is a huge factor. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no one to hold your hand in community college. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all on you. It relies on you to get your homework done and turn it in.
Yeah.
And that was fine. Like, I was already doing that on my own with my high school homework. So it wasn't much different going into college and doing that. It felt normal. It felt like what was expected of me all my life. Yeah. So,
no, it makes perfect sense. It's a lot of like, not all homeschool families encourage it, but when it comes to when you hit high school and you start doing a lot of work on your own and doing a lot of time management on your own, without your parent,
mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they kind of, they'll come alongside if you need them, but like, yeah, you know, but they just know that you can do a lot of stuff on your own. It encourages a lot of independence, a lot of self-learning, a lot of self-teaching. So, you know, that definitely comes in handy when you hit college. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people who went to public school or a non-preparatory school, if you will, they hit college and it's very overwhelming. And not to say that it's not overwhelming as a homeschooler to go into a different environment like that, but it is less overwhelming, in my opinion, because you are already doing some of the things that are required of you at the college level.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to how you're handling your studying and schedule and everything like that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you felt you were less prepared for because you were homeschooled?
I would say maybe standing up for myself in certain cases when it came to grown adult students.
Like the adults who were going back to school or like adults who are like freshmen, sophomore, like...
Both. Like, most of the people there were nice, and we would have very, like, adult conversations and mature conversations. Like, I could converse with them, and we'd be friends.
Yeah.
But there were those one or two few adults that, like, were just really aggressive towards me for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only thing I could say I was less prepared for.
Yeah. Was it, like, aggression, like, in, like, class discussion, or...
More so towards me as a person.
Okay, just not really vibing with the whole dual credit student situation, or...
Or being white.
Oh, yeah, that's true, because you were going to HCC.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah.
They had a lot of issues with me being white, but that's a different story.
Yeah, there were a lot of discussions about racism that kind of got a little bit unhinged.
Mm-hmm. And turned racism, like...
towards the white people in the room, even though there wasn't an argument from the white person in the room.
Yeah, literally.
Love that. The only thing that I can think of that I was less prepared for when it comes to going from homeschool to college is literally just the whole, like, not even necessarily how to talk to somebody I disagree with, but how to... talk to somebody I disagree with in front of 20 other people who probably agree with that other person.
Yeah.
That is the one thing that I was not prepared for.
Yeah, that's really difficult to do.
Yeah, and, like, even, like, as a dual credit student, like, I wasn't, like, keeping up with politics at that point in my life.
Mm-hmm, same.
Like, even then, but there were some things, like, as a Christian, that I believed that, like, there were instances where a lot of other people in the classroom did not agree with me, and it's very difficult to stand up for what you believe in or explain what you believe in when there are multiple people trying to shut you down, and like it feels like everybody else in the classroom does not agree with you.
I did not like that feeling. That happened too many times, and it's just like, it's just on me.
like, process and speak coherently to you, and we will have a good conversation if you will also act civil with me, as I'm trying to do with you.
Crazy concept.
Yeah.
Do you feel like the professors at community college were worse than the professors at university, or...
Honestly, I think that just depends on the teacher and, like, their passion towards teaching.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had bad teachers at community college and at my four-year. Mm-hmm. So, it really just depends.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. Although, I will say that my worst teachers were community college teachers. That's what I will say. Professor Brown? Macroeconomics? Oh, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you.
I know you.
I literally, like, that woman was a piece of work. I don't go around calling people pieces of work, but that woman was a piece of work.
She earned the title.
She earned the title. I asked her why she didn't do lectures, because she wouldn't do lectures. Okay. Even though we had, literally, the class was supposed to be a lecture class. Like, she would just, like, give us questions and then give us answers to the question. She'd never explain anything. And I asked her in, like, you know, her like, office hours one time. I was, like, really struggling in the class because nothing was ever being explained in macroeconomics, okay? And so I asked her, I was like, I don't, like, is there a reason that you don't lecture in class? Like, I said it very, like, you know, cautiously. I wasn't being accusatory. And she's just like, well, not everybody learns by lectures. And I was like, well, what about the students that do learn from lectures? Yeah. And she was just like, I just, you know, if you're reading the textbook and you're using all the materials we have for this course, you should be able to figure it out. And I'm like, you're the one who went to school and are teaching macroeconomics. I am lost here asking for help. She was a terrible teacher. She should not be teaching. I should have, like, gone to the dean about that. Really should have. I just was so done by the end of that semester. I was like, oh my gosh. But barely anybody was passing that class. I'll just put it out there. Usually when that happens, I know that there's difficult courses, but if most of your students are failing, there is a reason for that. Lady literally took up a good chunk of our class time, like, bringing in her DSW shoe warehouse haul and telling us how much everything cost.
Yeah. That was very special.
There were several instances like that where I was like, what is happening? What is happening? One time our class time was taken up by these two people who came in advertising a temp agency down the road, and they just talked about their temp agency for our class time. What does that have to do with macroeconomics? Did they relate anything to macroeconomics? No. It was almost like the professor was begging us to drop her class and just go work at a warehouse. Like, honestly.
That sounds like what the push was.
Yeah.
We need more blue-collared people.
Honestly, then maybe that was her whole agenda. But,
yeah,
so we have that. At the school that I transferred to later on after my first university, I did have... a not so great experience with the professor there that I've detailed in my Mommy Daddy the World is Burning episode of this podcast. So if you want to hear about that story, that insane story, you should go listen to that episode. Other than that, I think a lot of my university professors were far better than my community college professors, with the major exception of my college algebra teacher at the community college. She was a good teacher. She was very understanding. She was a very quiet person. But she actually tried to, she was very sweet, she tried to make algebra fun. It wasn't for any of us, but she tried. And she was very good at explaining math. She knew her stuff, and she really came alongside, like, every single person in that class who was struggling, like, she was there. So I think she was a very good teacher. I'll just put that out there. So if you're going to community college at Navarro, in Waxahachie, Texas, okay, Leslie Stice, take her algebra class. She's a great teacher. She's absolutely adorable and sweet. Anyways, the next thing I want to talk about is the left-leaning agenda.
Oh, wow.
You know, as I've talked about on this podcast a million times, academia is just full of left-leaning ideologies, blah, 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 blah,
blah. As much as they don't say it is.
Yeah, no, they would never.
Never.
But, so, do you feel like the course materials that you had to read throughout your college experience, do you feel like those materials that you had to read and use, were they left-leaning themselves?
100%. Yes. Especially in my, what was it, Art History 3 and my poetry class, most definitely in terms of reading material, yes, 100%.
Were there materials that weren't necessarily left-leaning that, because of who was teaching it, became left-leaning?
I think so. Like, some of my English Comp 2 discussions, definitely.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
I remember being very uncomfortable. Yeah. And not being able to say anything because I didn't want to get attacked again in front of everybody and the teacher not doing anything.
So. We love it.
At least I did have other students trying to defend me that time. But.
So on that same vein, do you have any crazy professor stories revolving around left-leaning politics, ideologies, anything like that? Any crazy professor rants, interactions?
I mean, I think there's just too many, honestly. Like, it's... Part of me has blocked some stuff out, and part of me is just, like, not wanting to remember. Like,
that's fair.
What comes to mind is, like, not exactly rants, but it's, like, the way they taught the course and spoke about certain things was definitely, like, if you're a conservative and Christian and you eat at Chick-fil-A, you know, you're a terrible person. And, yeah.
Gotta love those side rants that professors go on in the middle of their lectures.
Yeah, that makes you feel very welcomed as a student, and not like they hate you, and if they ever found out who you were or what you believed, you know, you would be burned at the stake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, also, I've just overheard a lot of interactions just around campus that are that way, and it's just like, okay, feel sorry for that person if they're getting lectured or if they're just talking very aggressively. I can't tell at this point.
Fair. I will say it on a pretty consistent basis. One of the only good things that came out of my first university experience was the communication that I still have with one of my English professors. And I think, like, we disagree on everything, probably, I would assume.
yeah.
Like, but the thing is, like, he is still not the type of person, like, I spoke up several times as, like, I took one of his courses one semester, and then the next semester that I was at that college, I took another course of his, and I, you know, got a little bit more comfortable. I was getting to know the guy. And so, like, the second course that I took in his class, I did speak up a little bit on certain things that I felt like needed to be said, that I knew that other people in the class weren't going to agree with. And I never felt like he was going to completely shut me down and attack me. Whereas a lot of my other classes that I took, I knew that was exactly what was going to happen. It happened multiple times. I appreciate that professor for just the way that he conducted himself. I'm like, it's not hard.
It's not hard to be civil with someone you disagree with.
No. And, like, even, like, I met up with the guy for coffee in February because I was up in Wisconsin. I was, like, just talking about stuff. We were updating each other on things because, you know, we'd never even met in person, by the way.
Yeah, this was all virtual.
All virtual, like, Zoom classes. But we had kept up email communications. And so we finally met in person. We met up for coffee in February of this year. And it was such a great conversation. Like, I walked away feeling so happy that I'd finally gotten to meet this guy in person because, like, we talked about all sorts of stuff. And it's like, you can find so much in common with people you disagree with as long as you are just open to discussing things and talking about things and, like, finding common ground. And, like, the thing is, like, you know, when I said, when he asked what I've been up to and I said, oh, I started a podcast where I talk about politics and, you know, I'm conservative and all this stuff. And, you know, and I tell him that I'm now writing for the Tennessee Conservative and all that stuff. Okay. He is not sitting there going, ew. You know, he's not like immediately getting frustrated with me and immediately getting all worked up. Okay. He's just like, okay, that's very good. Like, you know, like, you know, just being like happy that I have done, like, been able that you to are do becoming something.
Successful.
Yeah,
away from school.
And it's like, and it's not a difficult thing to interact with people like that, but in the sphere of academia, it's very hard to find people that are level-headed, like people should be.
But have you thought of any actual, like, anecdotes of professors being insane?
Yes. While I don't think I've experienced my professors from my classes, left liberal attacks, I have experienced other people's professors, random professors at my four-year college. Okay, so if anyone is familiar with Turning Point, they are like a conservative group trying to rally the conservative youth.
Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, there you go.
Yes, Google. so they have been forever been trying to start a branch at my school. And they had a table set up, and, like, every now and then, like, if I see them, I'm gonna go say hi, because, like, that was, like, sort of how I, like, became, like, aware of other people like me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go over, and I'd say hi, because they recognized me. They recognized my face, and they knew my beliefs, and, like, we would get to talking, you know? It'd be nice, like, as I'm on my way to, like, the next class or something.
Yeah.
And I remember I was just having a conversation with one of them, and then the leader of, like, that was running the table, a professor started yelling at him, but also it was yelling in the direction of all of us associated with him.
Mm.
Like, I don't remember what started it, but he just read our sign and just started yelling, like, one of the many signs they have up about their beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and just started yelling and calling us degenerate bastards and, like, saying we're horrible people and that we should all die and lovely things that a civil, sane person would say to someone they don't agree with.
I think so.
Yeah.
And the leader that was running the booth, that was a student. Or was
No, but he was also, he was a young guy, but he wasn't a student. But
okay.
He was the only non-student.
Okay.
Everyone else was a student. Everyone else helping the booth was a student of that college.
And then you have a professor on staff calling students or calling people with those belief systems, at the very least, certain words.
Mm-hmm.
Unnecessarily.
Yeah.
We love that. We love that
so much. It's very inclusive, if you ask me.
I did want to ask you, any classmate stories that you feel are relevant here?
I have too many. From both schools, honestly.
Mm.
That could be a whole podcast on its own. But the main ones I would point out would be the one where I was attacked for my race. A lot of the argument about, like, Civil War and white people is like, oh, white people owned slaves, and, like, no, they didn't. It was the elite, and that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
But I know for a fact my family members never owned slaves.
Okay? Same here.
They were all poor farmers, okay? And they worked alongside people of color. Like, they were not racist. They ate at the same table together and treated each other like family, okay? Like, and, like, I'm not saying this to talk out of my butt. I'm saying this from actual family stories I have heard. Okay? That
goes
down.
And, like, the thing is, like, same here, because, like, half of, like, one side of my family was not even in the United States at that time. And then the other side of my family were poor people who were sharecroppers the entire time this was going on. They did not own slaves. And so then you enter into these certain situations where people, like, truly believe that all white people were racist that owned slaves and were terrible to other people. And that's just not the reality, no matter how much you pitch it. I'm not saying that there weren't people who owned slaves. I'm not saying that there wasn't, like, certain atrocities. I'm not saying that there weren't people treating people like property. Okay, I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is that there are a lot of people who exist now whose ancestors did not own slaves. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that exist now, okay, whose ancestors might not even have been here. So we just need to keep that in mind. But a lot of people, like in this case, weren't willing to hear that and aren't willing to hear that.
Yes, because there was a guy directly behind me. He was a person of color, and he, like, started going off about the white man, and then he, like, made certain comments towards me, and so I turned around and I was like, that's not cool. No, actually, that's not true. And then, like, at that time I think I was like 17.
Yeah, still at community college.
And this guy literally right behind me started attacking me based on the color of my skin, and I told him, you're being racist right now. Okay, you're the one promoting racism. And then he's just like, no, you went, blah, 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 blah. And then, like, I had three other people in front of me. They, all three of them, were also people of color. And they defended me, okay? So if, like you know, like, if the room can see, it's just like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that one.
It's like, who's the racist one here?
Some people just really aren't willing to hear it.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So you were talking about Turning Point USA and how they were trying to start a chapter on your campus.
Yeah.
And because of how my college experience went, I think I've had about a total of 2 months actually living on a college campus and trying to get involved on that campus and stuff like that. So you have a bit more experience with, like, living and being and on being a college campus.
Yeah.
So just in general, like, what was it like trying to find people who were also conservative, or at the very least wouldn't be upset by your views?
It was a very difficult process. A lot of things happened during my time on campus that made me feel unsafe, but, Turning Point, when they first appeared, I felt like I saw my beacon of light, honestly, because, I had tried to talk to things with my roommate at the time, and I thought we got along, but I guess it turns out we didn't, because they moved out of the room and ignored me, even though we shared classes together, and never came back for some of their stuff, which is now mine. and then, like, the roommate after her, like, we were just completely different. Personality and everything else in general. And so, like, I felt like I had no one to talk to, like, and, like, I just didn't have a place to, like, reach out to, like, friends that were on campus, and Turning Point was that for me. Like, we were trying to start a thing, and then, like, it fizzled out because everyone who was a conservative were seniors, and so they graduated out, which sucked. And that seemed to be a recurring case. So, like, it never, like, officially took off.
Yeah.
But that was how I got started, and I recognized faces around campus, so it was like, oh, okay, like, hello, fellow person. And it's just like, but then again, I still didn't make friends out of that. It was just like, more so, you're not alone type of deal.
Yeah. Well, even I remember you telling me, like, a while ago that you were, like, sitting in the cafeteria at some point, and you were, like, watching, what was it, Matt Walsh?
Yeah, I was watching Matt Walsh in the cafeteria, and, like, by myself with earbuds in, because, like, I didn't have friends. And so I was just doing that. And then, like, this guy comes up behind me, and he's just like, are you watching Matt Walsh? And, like, at this point, like, I had been exposed to this campus as like the person that they are looking to attack as the majority of people on campus. Like, so I was very scared to, like, confirm anything. And so I asked, like, why? Why are you asking? But then he's just like, I like him too. And just started nerding out. And then I was like, oh, okay, he's safe. So I started nerding out. Mm-hmm. And, like, we just started bonding. And, like, he was there with his roommate, which didn't agree on anything. But me and him, we were actually able to have a civil conversation. Mm-hmm. And it was just really nice, you know, even though we didn't agree on anything. But it was just nice. You know, it's like,
friend.
Yeah.
Like, not friend, but like, yeah. Person. Like, we're safe. I know you. And we, until I even left, like, we still said hi to each other on campus.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. It was just a passing hi, but.
But again, it was more so like a feeling of not being alone, and it didn't really, you know, evolve into like a friendship or anything.
Exactly. But... Yeah. Just because of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. But yeah, so like, did you end up finding anybody that was conservative that you actually became friends with, or no?
Very surprisingly, it wasn't until like my last semester or two.
Okay.
Which I wish I had found these people sooner, but I am thankful that I did find them. It's really funny, actually. So, I think I kind of became an inherent beacon because I had some of the Turning Point merch. I wore one of the buttons on my backpack, and I had someone comment, "Hey, is that so-and-so?" And I was like, "Yeah, are you like a fellow?" And they're just like, and like, we were in the classroom, so mm-hmm. I understand them not wanting to publicly respond. So they're just like, I would rather not say. And I'm just like, okay, that's fine. If you just need to know someone else is here, I'll be that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be that person, like other people were for me. So there was that interaction. And then the funniest thing, I found a rainbow-headed conservative.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
A rainbow-haired conservative.
Yes. Rainbow. Rainbow-haired conservative.
We love our colored hair conservatives.
And she has faced many of the same stereotypes I faced about mm-hmm. gender, sexuality, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we bonded over that. Mm-hmm. Like, in the beginning, we didn't know if each other were conservative.
Yeah.
But, like, we were, like, vibing as people in general. And then when certain subjects came up and we found out, we were like, oh, you agree with me.
Yeah.
And then we actually had, like, private conversations and we were like, oh my gosh! You're the first person I found! And, like, we were just both really happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that, even though it was my final semester, I'm just glad I did finally find someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I kind of found a group of people that, like, even if I knew everyone in that group of people wasn't going to agree with me, I knew one or two would either, like, agree or tolerate mm-hmm. to a certain extent. It made me feel safe and that I had friends
yeah.
at that point. So.
That's good.
Yeah, it had a happy ending!
Huge contrast to first semester at school.
Huge! Oh my gosh, huge.
Yeah, which we'll get into. But yeah, I'm very glad that she found people. But if anything, that's just a testament to how hard it is to find mm-hmm. people who are conservative. It's already hard enough to make friends, guys.
Yes,
but just then in general. Also, on a college campus where everything is very divisive, very yes. divided as far as, like, who people are willing to tolerate. Like, it mm-hmm. just makes it 100 times harder. And, like, that was one of the biggest, like, biggest sensitive points, like, when Shauna was first mm-hmm. on campus, was, like, we'd be talking on the phone and it was, like, just still not having anybody to just be around, be social with, go hang out with, talk to mm-hmm. in person, because it was just so difficult to find somebody that
was so lonely.
Yeah. And so, like, and she's not the only one that mm-hmm. deals with that on college campuses. I mean, she was there, granted, during COVID. You had a lot of other things playing into that, but she was not the only one on campus as a conservative during COVID. And there were probably plenty of people across the country that were doing or feeling the exact same thing as a freshman, as a transfer, and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's really screwed. But that leads us into the last part of this episode and the part that's probably going to take the longest.
Honestly, yeah, there's just too much to say.
And we're not even going to get into my stuff.
This is just all me here.
Yeah.
This is all me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
And I mean, I haven't gone into my whole COVID college experience on my podcast before, partially because it's a long, long story that very sucks, but also partially because I'm still coming to terms with all of that. I still got a little bit of anger, so.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I still have anger as well, thus why I'm shaking.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is processing here.
Yes. So, you know, we're gonna focus on Shauna today.
Focus on my trauma.
Yes. So I'm gonna let you explain what it was like, you know, being physically on campus with the COVID insanity going on, because you were on campus at college in Florida from like spring of 2021 mm-hmm. to spring of this year.
Yeah.
So you know, you weren't there during 2020, but like you were there in the direct aftermath pretty much.
Yeah.
And so I guess let's start off. Mask mandates?
Yeah. Mask mandates, bunch of bull. It wasn't even just mask mandates. It was self-screening.
Mm-hmm.
You had to download this app on your phone and you had to like check in every day your symptoms, if you had any fevers, whatever. None of it was double checked, by the way. It was just a matter of compliance and doing it.
Yeah.
And honestly, I just got so sick and tired of it. I had to show my teachers every day that I was okay to come into class for my in-person classes. I had online classes because the teachers were still afraid. But the in-person ones I did have, I had to show my green screen.
The green screen that she got from assessing herself.
Yes. And
so logical. It makes perfect sense.
And I had to do that to even get food. If I didn't show it, I had to starve. Like, it was literally a controlling thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it wasn't even like in depth. It's just like they just need a flash of green.
Yeah.
I very early on, pretty much, I did the green screen thing, and then I would screenshot it and I would use that for as long as I could. Honestly. And then they caught on to that trick because they were like, oh, tap your screen because then it'll show whether it's a picture or not.
But it's so stupid because you could have just lied that morning.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely illogical, and that's part of what was so insane about all of this stuff, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if you're by yourself in a building, and you're literally, it's just you in that space, there would be, like, people who, specifically, their job was to come up to you and to yell at you if you weren't wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And, like, threaten to kick you out of school.
What about your dorm?
My dorm was the only time you could be mask-free, really.
But only in your dorm room?
Only in my dorm room.
Okay.
In the building, you had to be masked.
So as soon as you step out in the hallway to use the bathroom,
mm-hmm.
you had to wear a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah! Yay! Very comfortable living, guys.
Yeah, but you could take it off when you go outside.
I wish that the microphone could pick up the crickets outside. Anyways.
Me too.
What about, how did your college handle the vaccine stuff?
Medical discrimination! Woo! Let's go!
Yes.
Doesn't matter what reason.
Slay.
No matter what reason, whether it's like a medical condition you have, religious reasons, medical discrimination, everybody. Let's go.
Did they say, like, you had to get a vaccine to keep going to school? Or did they just pretty mm-hmm. much, at your school, I think what they do, they just started discriminating against mm-hmm. unvaccinated people?
The options were simple. Either you get vaccinated, or you go into testing for... In the beginning, it was just, like, a couple times a week.
Mm-hmm.
You get tested a couple times a week if you didn't. It was just if you didn't register that you were vaccinated. Like, you had to show proof of a vaccine card. And even if you were vaccinated and you didn't show your proof, you got selected to be tested.
So, the COVID testing, they pretty much were testing the unvaccinated people only.
It was mainly the unvaccinated people. And all of us kept seeing, you would see the same faces.
Yeah, because it was the same group of unvaccinated people that were yeah. being randomly selected for
yeah,
testing.
And then it got moved to randomly selected people. And all the randomly selected people was same people, same time, same day, every single day. Well, not every single day, every single Tuesday.
Yeah, and so, like, and what kind of test was it that you said? I think you said it was the one where they stick it in your nose.
It was the nasal swab, they took your temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And you just had to, like, sit and wait. And, like, it was so stupid because, like, medical information, that's supposed to be private, right?
Yeah.
If you get tested and you're positive, should that be private?
I would say so.
Okay. So you wouldn't scream whether you're positive or negative to a whole room of people?
Not usually, no.
Oh, okay. I just wasn't sure if we were clear on that, because apparently my college was not clear on that.
Oh.
It was not very subtle at all. They would either, like, call your name and then say, like, an audible tone, like, whether you were positive or negative. And then they started doing the paper slips thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was, like, a piece of paper saying whether you're positive or you're negative. And then, like, if the person got more papers, which was instructions on what to do and how to quarantine yourself, you knew that they were not, you know...
that they were sick.
Yeah.
Or tested positive, at least, because we all know those tests are flawed.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And it screwed up my sinuses one time for a whole week, and it made me feel like I was sick when I wasn't. They just shoved it up there without caring, and they jacked up my sinuses for an entire week.
Yeah, so then you had jacked up sinuses from the stupid COVID testing, mm-hmm. and then you were also having to wear a mask on top of that.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I already can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, even if it's like, below your nose, even if it's on accident, like, you will get yelled at.
Yeah. Well, it was kind of like, I know it's not what they called it, but wasn't it kind of like a demerit system? Like, you mm-hmm. know, you only had so many chances before.
Yeah, you would get reported. If you're on campus property, outside, you had to wear a mask. And I got yelled at several times because I didn't, because I was, you know, breathing or about to have a panic attack or something like that. You know, I got yelled at by teachers.
Yeah.
That were also outside.
Well, and I know that my university did this. Did yours? They put out pretty much a website, like a whole system for students to report other students.
Yes, that was a thing.
Okay.
That was a thing.
So if a student walked around and saw somebody not wearing a mask or not standing 6 feet apart or not whatever, if they were breaking any of the COVID policies or regulations or mm-hmm. whatever, then they
could
report.
You could get kicked out of school.
Yeah, they could report you and you get kicked out of school.
Yeah.
Just ridiculous. As far as activities and social life, what was that like as an unvaccinated person? Like, how was that different for you since you weren't vaccinated? Because I remember you telling me about certain events, and it was like you couldn't even go.
Yeah. Right? There were several events that would happen, and it was like, oh, you can come if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
If you're unvaccinated, you have to wear a mask. And, like, it singles out all the unvaccinated people. It's discrimination.
It really is. And then, like, that doesn't help with, like, the, you know, you already don't know that many people on campus, you're already mm-hmm. struggling to find people to
yeah.
talk to, and then, like, you literally can't go to any of the social events that they're holding because...
Yeah, I couldn't. And, like, these social events were outside, and I had to wear a mask if I was unvaccinated. I remember this one time, I was just so lonely. I went to one event, but I didn't go to the event. I sat on the other side of the street and watched the event, which was a movie. Like, it was a lawn movie where people were spaced out. So even if I went by myself and sat under a tree by myself, I would still have to wear a mask more than 6 feet away from people.
Yeah.
And so I just sat across the street, sat on a curb, ate my pizza, and watched Pokemon. That's
the movie it was?
Yeah.
Pokemon. Alright, mm-hmm. cool.
I didn't even want to watch the movie. I was just so lonely.
Itchy for social interaction.
Yeah, I was just so done.
That's completely understandable. Like, just honestly, okay, here. Okay. The psychological warfare,
mm-hmm.
okay, and just the emotional manipulation that universities and colleges pulled on an entire generation of college students... Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely not okay. Absolutely not okay. And I feel like everybody's forgetting this way too quickly.
Everyone's willing to forgive and forget very quickly.
Exactly. And so I typed this out, okay? And I'm going to say this to you right now. All right? You ready? Okay? Everyone out there, all of you out there who went to school, okay? Before you go around recommending or promoting the school you graduated from, I want you to think about what they did. Okay, and how they manipulated and messed with, pretty much, thousands upon thousands of college students across the country. Thousands and thousands of young adults who are now going to have to deal with the consequences of these actions that universities and colleges pulled in the name of COVID. There should be no pride in your university and your college alumni if they did any of this crap.
Yeah, I don't have pride at all for my college. Like, whenever I'm seeing the campus tours, I literally want to tell them to run away, go find a different school. And, like, I had this, like, entirely different situation come up where, like, there was a family, they lost their phone, blah, 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 I've returned it. And then they asked me, because they had, like, a teenager with them, it's like, oh, would you recommend your school? And I was like, absolutely not. Do not go here.
Yeah.
And they appreciated my honesty. But I'm serious.
Yeah. No, and like, you know, people our age are gonna do what people our age do, whatever. Yeah. But, like, to the people who are listening to me, who I know a large part of my audience is, like, older conservatives, I just want to put this out there. Like, seriously, if you went somewhere in your youth and you enjoyed it and it was great and everything, I'm glad that you had a good college experience. Mm-hmm. But if your alumni participated in any of this crap, you have to realize how detrimental that was to the students.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially to those of us who were not going along with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But even more to the people who did go along with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it shows how easily these kids will fall into compliance. It shows how easily mm-hmm. they can be controlled, and it shows how easily they can be manipulated. And it's like, and then those of us who weren't easily manipulated and saw through a lot of it, literally, it was just like psychological warfare and manipulation.
I was wanting to cry every single day that I had to go through that.
And part of the reason that I say it was emotional manipulation too is that both Shauna and I, and several other people my age that I've talked to, like, that were enrolled in school during this time, it was a constant, like, stream of emails,
mm-hmm.
okay, in our student inboxes. And it was constantly, like, practically every week, it was like, okay, guys, things are looking better, things are looking up, you don't have to do this anymore. And literally yeah. 2 days later, the next week, the next yeah, day, they would keep switch pushing it
out.
Yes.
Yes, and, like, there was also situations, I had one situation to where I had to go to the hospital, and then, like, I was still kind of recovering during the whole COVID stuff. It wasn't COVID related, it was other medical issues, but they required me to do a testing pretty much the next day after I got out of the hospital, and I said, hey, I can't move. And then they didn't care, and they said, and I had accidentally missed one of the testings mm-hmm. because I didn't see the email. And so I was told if I miss it again, disciplinary action was going to be taken.
Oh, yeah.
And so me being a goody-two-shoes student and also, like, being psychologically, emotionally manipulated, I forced myself to go, even though, like, I almost passed out in the street walking to campus mm-hmm. to get this stupid test. And I called right after, hey, I need campus security, like, hey, can you come pick me up? I can't move. They said, no, call the nurse. And so I called the nurse, and the nurse said, no, you have to come all the way across campus in order for me to let the security guys take you back to your dorm. So I walked all the way back to my dorm, very feebly.
Which is what you're supposed to do after getting out of the hospital for something very serious,
mm-hmm.
is you're supposed to walk across a college campus with no help.
Yeah.
But
for a COVID test.
For a COVID test. Yeah. All in the name of COVID.
For safety.
But yeah, just like the constant flip-flopping, the mm-hmm. constant giving and taking of, like, here, we'll give you a little bit back, a little bit of normalcy. Oh, never mind, can't have it.
Like, it was every week. And, like, I would literally do countdowns in my head. It's like, okay, just a couple more days. Just a couple more days. Psych! Okay, and then they do it again. It's like, okay, a couple more days. And, like, those weeks, those days, those would turn into weeks. And those mm-hmm. weeks would literally turn into multiple months. The rest of the semester.
But it was a continued promise of, we're going to change this. And then immediately taking it back. For her and for me, both of our schools were mm-hmm. doing that constantly. So that was just the thing. But it's just like the flip-flopping and the little, like, a little give, a little take, a little give, major take back. Like, these same people, these university officials, okay, these college officials, these people in state government, okay, the same people that were doing that are the same people that would look at a marital relationship, at a child-parent relationship, and if they saw that same give and take back there, they would call it abuse.
Because it is abuse.
And they have done that to an entire generation of college students. It is literally psychological abuse, if you ask me. And, you know...
I agree, yes.
Yeah, and, like, and I've had calmer conversations with people about this stuff, but since this is my platform, I will say this, is the fact that, like, these people who made these decisions, all in the name of a virus, okay? Mm. I'm sorry, but some of this stuff is pure evil. Like, just out of the fact that, like, it was not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And you ruined people's lives in some instances, took away their jobs, took away their livelihoods, okay, took away their ability to get an education that they worked hard for, took away their stability of housing in some mm-hmm. situations, okay, like all of this stuff. And then you have the audacity to continue to promise normalcy every week, every few days and whatever, and immediately take it back. And then continue to promise that you care about your students' mental health. Absolute crap. Absolute crap.
Preach.
There you go. That's what I said. I could go on, but I won't.
But she, like, can go on.
I can definitely go on. I've gone on a lot over the last few years.
Yes.
But here's the thing. Like, I will continue to say this. COVID did not do any of this. People did this to mm-hmm. people.
Yes.
People made these decisions to do this to other groups of people.
Yes.
Whether that was the elite, whether that was the government, whether that was heads of businesses mm-hmm. or heads of schools. People made the decisions that affected other people. COVID did not do certain things to me. COVID did not do mm-hmm. this stuff to Shauna. Other people did these things to other people. So, that was an excuse I heard many a time
mm-hmm.
in conversations with people who were in charge of this stuff was, you know, COVID's done a lot of things that, or, you know, COVID just, you know, has affected a lot of people. And I'm like, and I straight up have told people, I'm like, no, COVID is not doing this to me right now. You are making the decision to do this to me right now.
Yeah. A virus can't make you comply to, like,
at least not that virus. I'm sure they can make a virus that makes you comply.
Biochemical warfare.
Woo! But COVID itself, okay, COVID itself was not making the decisions that kept people in lockdown. COVID itself mm-hmm. was not making the decisions that, you know, drove me to drop out of school. COVID itself was not doing that. Those were people.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just keep that in mind. But yeah.
What a positive note.
What a positive note to leave off on, guys. But I think that's about it. So,
yeah,
if you enjoyed this special Blue-Haired Conservatives episode of Subtle Rampage Podcast, I am so glad. I am so happy you tuned in to hang out with me and my best friend. If you are interested in checking out Shauna's graphic design portfolio, since she's all edumacated and stuffs, she does some good work, so you can check out her website in the description below, and you can also, you know, follow the Subtle Rampage Podcast on our social media when you get the chance. It's down there too. Yeah, just click, you know, copy paste, whatever you gotta do. Don't know what device you're on, but yeah. Anything else?
Good luck, world.
Good luck, world.
Good luck, world.
There we go. Bye-bye.